My poor memory. All right. So once again, we're talking about the fool, and it's something that we have to be aware of. And just like when we did the hypocrite, it's one of those things we take for granted. We've allowed man to just by himself create what that means, what that looks like. All right. So in doing so, we miss out on some very important things for our lives, because a person who is considered a fool is actually headed in the wrong way to hell. And just like we talked about love and hate, a fool, it's either a foolish or wise. Man creates the middle stuff to try to make up so we are not necessarily calling ourselves a fool, but so that we cannot really, even if we're not wise, we're not as bad as a fool. But that's not what the Bible teaches. So this examination of self, this is another thing we have to make sure, because it's another choice that we make. So let's go through this, get an understanding of it, make sure you're not, make sure I'm not, understand who is, because even our relationship with a fool will affect us, as you're about to see. So first of all, the Bible not only provides us with what we need to protect us from others and for us to help others, but for us to first check us and help us first. I can't do you any good if I'm having problems. I won't be able to see straight, won't be able to deal with what you're going through because I'm dealing with me. So he starts off in Matthew 7, 1 to 5. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. In the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And that's a big part that we tend to miss every time, because we tend to judge based off how we see everything. We think we got everything figured out, and then we do it, which is a foolish move, okay? Because he just told you how you did it, you will be judged that way. That should terrify us. But you still hear people put out their viewpoint on things. But then if you checked you're not saying, what does that mean? He says, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So whatever measuring point or instrument or a standard you're using, that's what's going to be used on you. So if I'm using my own corrupt, distorted, falling short measurement, that's what's going to be used on me. That's devastating to think about. He says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye? So this is about seeing. Why do you see what your brother sees wrong? But then he says, pay no attention to the plank in your own eye. Now, I told you one of the biggest ways to really help a person and not to come off self-righteous is to present what you're doing wrong. Now, I told you the easy way out sometimes, oh, it's more of the coward's way out, is when I go, I know I have problems, but then I go into detail about their problems. Because you're not saying anything. You're kind of just throwing it out there, but then, man, you're all in on theirs. And not realizing I do have issues. The more detail you give, the more you open up, the more you show how you're trying to get help, things that you may need help on, then I think it's easier for them to take. That's why he's saying, you're so focused on how wrong and how messed up I am. Do you realize how wrong and messed up you are? And it's important for us to have this. He says, how can you say, to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, in other words, help you to see better, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye. While there's a ton of stuff you're totally oblivious of. Totally oblivious of. Christians have access not to be unclear about things. Now, does that mean we're going to miss things? No. You know what I mean? There's confusion and stuff, but we then know how to be careful on how we approach other situations. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? In other words, I'm not going to come at you with, what are you talking about? And you're so stupid, and so on and so forth. I know how my mind works, and I can get confused very easy, and I get that all the time. Unfortunately, I used to feel bad about it when I was younger, and as I got older, I looked at the people, and in my mind, I'm saying for real. And I had to be careful if I did that to people anyway. You know what I mean? Why? How am I looking at them like they're crazy when there are people looking at me like I'm crazy? And this is all these people who are wrong, who are dead wrong, but we like to come off as, what are you talking about and making fun of, instead of realizing, do you really check yourself? And it's so important. He goes into this whole entire thing and he hits us with the word, like we were talking about in the last study. He says, you hypocrite, right? You hypocrite. And we know what's going to happen to hypocrites. First, take the plank out of your own eye. Does that mean be perfect? No. Recognize you have problems in how you see things. Don't just say it. You got to make known. Man, I'm confused on this. I made some mistakes on this. You'll ask questions. Hey, is there something I'm missing? Do you see something about me that you don't realize? Do you know what I mean? Or is there something that I tend to do? Or we don't like hearing that because I don't want to hear anybody's opinion. Because you are going to get opinions and you got to take those and throw them out. You know what I mean? Because that's just somebody's perception. But if somebody's truly doing it in a godly way, they can present, I notice you tend to, and they'll do it in a loving and gentle way. But that's so necessary for us to get. You know, I mean, if we had true prayer partners that would lovingly present and then I can lovingly receive, this is necessary. It's not done anymore. People like to judge and like to come off as I know everything. He says, first take the plank out of your own eye. Then, watch this, you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Because a lot of times in my when I in my feelings, in my flesh, I look at something and I'm shaking my head like, all right, man, these people, and so on and so forth. Okay. And what you're going to realize is we are responsible for helping people. But if I help them, once again, based on me, that measurement's going to crush me. If I don't help them, then I'm not helping my brother the way the Bible says. So I'm stuck to do it right. Right. And I think when I do it, it helps me to see me as well. So I'm using and starting with this is because in that same way, as we go through it, now you're going to want to know what does it mean really to be a fool? In order for me to make sure that's not me and what I used to think it was, I have to erase my definition of it because even if for me to just call you a fool puts me in danger. Look what he says here. We must realize we are never to label someone a fool. Okay, that's never for me or you to do. Okay, and we tend to do it, and I know we're sure of it. And in some cases, we're in complete agreement. But the only time that is allowed is when we can support it by God. Not by how we see it. Matthew 5:22 says, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Now, that sounds deep. And to us, it may even sound extreme. And I've heard people ignore it. In order that they don't have to deal with this. Because all three of those, you know what I mean? When you're going to Sanhedrin, that's judge, what the judges were of the church right there and how things were structured. So, and Raca meant fool. When, I mean, not fool, when you call them an idiot, worthless, okay? And when he goes down to, in the end, where he says, anyone who says you fool will be in danger of hellfire, of course we think that's extreme. But the main reason is we're noticing we're judging, we're basing it on us, so it's setting us up. Keith, what is your measurement when you call somebody that? You know, and we do it so loosely and we think nothing of it because we like to common sense God. Because that doesn't make sense to me, I'm going to ignore it and tell everybody else, why are you looking at it? I'd have no problem with that if they could say, because the Bible says this here and it, you know, just that. But if it says this, where's the reverence? Right? Where's the reverence? Why do we keep making decisions on our own when we think God is, you know, out of line and he's mistaken? And more people do that. That type of wisdom is wrong. You're going to see in God's word that type of wisdom is foolish. So we're going to go through that and understand it. Now, though I must never call someone a fool, watch this, I must recognize someone who is a fool, even if that fool is me. All right, now, we are warned not to allow foolish people as being dependable people in our lives. Now, think about that. Even though I can't call somebody a fool, puts me in danger, I have to know when somebody's a fool because of how it can affect me. Proverbs 14:7 says, stay away from a foolish man, for you will not find knowledge on his lips. Now, there's a lot of people will hear and they'll talk brilliantly based on the world. They'll talk brilliantly based on us, and we'll take advice from them. You see it in all forms of different things. Right? This is why Christians love to go to worldly doctors, but worldly doctors are limited because if they're not giving you what the word says, you're getting something that's going to be fleshly and be led in that way, and it's going to mislead you. In fact, if you saw how Eve talking to Satan, if he didn't go, well, God said and showed you where God said and so on and so forth, but he just gave her a lot of stuff that made her go, And unfortunately, we still do that today. We still have that mindset instead of going, this guy's not a Christian. He's not in his word. The stuff he's saying sounds good. Remember, We walk by faith, not by senses, but we still get caught up when somebody comes along and tries to sound profound, tries to sound, please be very careful of that, because it'll hit a nerve. It'll make us go, wow, that is so deep. And I've heard many ministers that say some fascinating sounding things, but it's wrong based on God's word, right? You're like, I heard what you said, and probably can make sense, but it's nowhere in the Bible. Where'd you get that from? And then they like to blame it on God. Well, God gave me this message. And then it confuses people. Did it really come from God? And most times you can see if it's not God's word's not the foundation of it, then it's wrong. But I have to know this because all of us throughout our lives till we die are looking for the right word. We get God's word. Sometimes people can give you more clarity on it. That's my job. But I still get it from others too, and I want to make sure who I'm getting it from. So I got to know when a person is foolish. That means they're getting their information from somewhere else. And there's a lot of smart, foolish people if you kind of mix up the world aspect of it. Now, the fool, they are incapable of having wise conversations. Which now should make us go, oh, because if somebody's not paying attention to what I'm saying, you're thinking you if you have a wise conversation, then that person's not a fool. Please understand, a lot of the conversations we have, we allow the world to mold what wise conversations are, right? I used to get into debates with my brother. I used to get into what we call philosophical talks with people. This one guy, man, he hated any time I brought up God, hated it. But we'd have deep talks, and it hit me in my mind. This is a foolish conversation. He would justify some things in history that are dead against God. He would say some things about here and now that he thought he figured out he was brilliant about. He would call people from certain areas brilliant. And it was just when I thought about it. When I thought about it with my intellect, and my intellect wasn't spiritual, I would go, wow, you know, he's really deep. He really knows this stuff. He's well read. But the more and more he was saying things, and him not being a Christian already put him in that mood of foolishness. Do you understand? And remember, the person who's not a Christian already thinks the word is foolishness. We'll probably see that later as well. So taking all that into mind, Proverbs 23:9 says, do not speak to a fool. Now, in other words, and that speak is talking about that conversation. This is for he will scorn the wisdom of your words, right? I heard somebody get online with this one guy, and this was foolish in itself because the Bible tells us not give pearls to swine, but he was arguing with a worldly smart guy, if you will, and the guy was reciting stuff back to him in the Bible. However, he was reciting out of the Old Testament. It was wrong. The guy didn't know how to explain that, and the guy was tearing him apart. Because they can't get it because it's spiritually discerned. But it also showed the guy who's trying to attack him, a worldly person, which you're not supposed to do. Do you see how that's all mixed up? We get religious around people that are not religious, and the Bible tells us not to do it, which makes it foolish, right? We like to puff ourselves up and preach at them, and they're not going to get it, and that's not our job. Our job is not to make the world spiritual. The world's gone. Is to pull people out to become spiritual. But you still got people that are doing it. We want to make laws to force it. And that's the main thing we use. And that's not the case because we're not truly following God. So it says, don't speak to a fool. He will scorn the wisdom of your words. When you try to go, let me talk to him. Sometimes that's hard when somebody, and I get it all the time, can you go talk to, because I think they want that person to go, thank you. It really changed me. In most cases, if a person is a fool, they don't want wise information. They want feel-good information. I had to learn that the hard way. Because like I said, in the past, I would go, oh, I'm a counselor. I can go talk to somebody. And many times, they would kind of look at me like, okay, thank you. And then they get somebody to say something feel-good, something about them, until, you know, it faded. And then they came back and did it again. And I'm talking about Christians who suppose it Christian. Okay? People of the world, I let them know, what I'm going to give you is basis. You can take it or leave it. I always keep that open because they're not going to get godliness, and I have to do it the best I can without giving pearls to swine. So it's a balance you have to do, but you got to know your audience. So if he tells me not to speak to a fool in that way, knowing that what's going to happen, then I got to know that. Continuing on, fools walk blindly. Remember, if you remember, just getting done with First John, which showed us, who's going to heaven and who's not. In the one part, it says those who do wrong are still walking blind. So a person who's still living of the flesh is basically a fool. So Ecclesiastes 2, verse 14 says, the wise man has eyes in his head. Now you may go, is he talking about these? No, he's talking about the faith that we allow to attach to our minds. You understand that? And we make decisions based on God. As we're going to see later, that's the remedy or the thing we need in order to stay on the right path. He says, while the fool walks in darkness. And the fool, if we are not spiritually watching, will seem wise. They'll come back with their experience. I did this and this worked. And then we'll go, wow, thank you. So I'm going to do it. This is why people have mixed outcomes. They get frustrated. They get mad at God. And God's saying, I didn't tell you to do that in the first place. But we still keep allowing people who talk religious, who speak of things that they went through, they don't know the word, and they're speaking foolishness to you. You understand that? And not understanding that, they're walking in darkness. So they're just feeling around telling you which way to go, and they don't know. He says, but I came to realize the same fate overtakes them both. Now, this is important to know because Ecclesiastes talks about life. So I understand me walking in wisdom just because I may be wise, right, is not going to do anything with me when it comes to dying or anything. But my wisdom will let me know that. So I'll live towards him. Because if I took the wisdom and I said, I'm going to go out and show people how wise I am, make a whole bunch of money, I'm going to be great, I'm going to live forever. In my wisdom, I'm foolish, which many people can be. Many people will be, right? They'll use the wisdom that they see how they see fit. Because remember, the wisest person in the world ended up dying, marrying a whole bunch of ungodly people, right? As it was 1,000 wives altogether with 700, was it 700 wives and 300 concubines or vice versa? But either which way, he had a lot of these, and the majority of them were not of Israelites. He got them from gifts and all that other stuff, and he went down worshiping their gods. But he was wise, which is showing it's not something that's just going to happen to you. It's something that you have access to, and we all have access through God's Holy Spirit, but we have to access it. And where we mess up is I have access to wisdom, but my emotions. I have access to wisdom, but I'm surrounded by this group that I really trust. I'm, you know, I have access to wisdom, but I keep going off of what I learned in school and what I studied on my own. We keep corrupting the wisdom and taking away the value of what it presents to us. So we have to realize that. We have to know that. Fools walk, we already talked about them walking blindly. In a nutshell, the fool in their foolishness is very dangerous. Okay. It's just that is, and as he puts it here, I love how he puts it in Proverbs 17, verse 12, better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs. You know the term, why they use bear, mama bears, because they go crazy if they think you're even coming near their cubs. Many people have gone out in the woods and they're just hiking and they're far away. The minute the bear sees you, she charges and she's looking to kill because of her babies. Do you understand that? I've seen one of them, and you know what the male bears try to do, and they're much bigger. They want to eat or kill the cubs at times. And I saw a mom bear fighting the male. Finally, he left. I mean, she was fighting with everything for her three cubs. And it's something, you know, that when you see that and the danger of that, and then he says it's better to be approached by that than a fool in his folly. But if I don't know what's folly and what's good, because today we're caught up in the fall. Going back, like I said, because this is what we're stuck in, you watch a conservative get caught up with this conservative talk, which is all foolish. Do you understand that? They're now, once again, in what he's saying here. You get a liberal in his liberal talk, once again, call himself a Christian, he's stuck in this. You understand that? They may have moments that look wise. Well, we know it's foolishness. We know. Challenge is always out. Take any of those ideologies and any other one I may have missed and say, I'm going to prove to you, Pastor, using the Bible, that it's godly. And I can assure you what you'll hear is, well, we had to pick one out of two evils. Where did God told me I have to pick an evil? But the purpose of this is because we allow this stuff to influence us. And the only way to influence us, because it's not touching our spirit, is for it to touch my flesh, for me to want to be led by it. And we hold on to it. Even Christians that get it still hold on to it, and then we still do and say foolish things. And you don't know what it does to people because it hurts your ministry. There's that corruption. I don't know if you remember in Titus where he talks about, he says, to the pure, all things are pure. That's all he had to say. In other words, so you'll hear me say something, I'll be able to fully follow it by the Bible. He says, but to the corrupt. Now, what's somebody who's corrupt? I said this from the Bible, and then you heard me say this. I had pure water, but then I added this to it. Well, you know, I know how people are, and he was struggling. This is why he did. Why are you giving an excuse if the Bible didn't? Why are you supporting if the Bible did? You understand that? And this was showing us that in his folly, you're in extreme danger. The person is. Don't realize that. You'll keep engaging and say, man, I'm a Christian. I'm guarded by God. And God's like, I'm trying to protect you. You're just not staying in my protection. And it happens all the time because we still are allowing ourselves to be influenced by the fools, or we participate in being foolish. Fool's purpose displays their disbelief in God. And what I mean by that, to be a fool, you don't have the godly purpose or you wouldn't be a fool. Okay, that's why majority of it we see in Proverbs is to show wisdom and foolishness, because they're the two things we have. I probably have to do one on wisdom itself to show how to be wise, how to truly be wise, so I won't get caught up in what I'm told wisdom is. So when you watch them live, remember our actions, and I know the people who misinterpret grace, they want to eliminate any action. Your actions mean nothing. It's in your heart is what they'll say. But your heart is going to display through what you do. And you'll watch a person and their actions will be foolish. But what Satan did that was brilliant is made me not know what foolish is. So they'll do something that I think is stupid, but was it foolish? Do you understand that? Right? And may not hear somebody give me their definition is kind of disturbing, because you'll get more of that than you hear somebody that can really give you a foundational reason out of God's word of why they do or do not do something. Because it says in Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool says in his heart, remember your heart is your purpose. We did a whole study on that to show that's not something I just made up. There is no God. So you'll see them, no reverence of the word, no studying of the word, no applying of the word. Oh man, they'll have great conversations of how they did something and how it worked and how they read this other book and how somebody told them this. They'll have a whole lot of that. But when it comes to making a decision, and you'll give the more I thought, I felt, you'll give a lot of you. And like I said, you're basically saying there is no God. Now somebody will fight. What do you mean? I believe in God. God does not care if I say I believe in him. The demons do that and they shudder, as it says in James. But the person, just like he was doing with Abraham, Abraham could have gone the whole entire staying at his house when he told him to go take his child to sacrifice him, say, God, I believe in you. I'm talking to you. I believe. And it would have meant nothing. Okay. And we have to recognize, are we doing the same thing? Are we giving him lip service, but our actions show otherwise? All right. So he says, fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. We talked about that earlier. What is corruption? I'm going to give you some word, but you're going to get other stuff in it. Like we talked about with the masks during the pandemic. And we made a big deal on no mask, you know, no vaccination. And I'm sorry, you can get anybody to give you any study on every case to tell you what's going on. Make a choice and move on. Why did we make so much time on that? And I can't find in God's word. We followed the conspiracy we wanted and we wasted time. Now we're doing it again. Now, also wisdom is going to be, if it's clear, it's clear. Let's not just jump on the side and call everything bad. Right now, with the whole implementation of calling something that I don't like a lie and stuff like that, you're setting yourselves up. People who are participating in now just saying nothing's real and I'm going to pick a side because, you know, everybody's wrong. Go ahead and do that. You're talking about foolish. That's foolish. Do you understand that? God provides us the insight, especially Christians, to know when something is and when something's not. So when you give me that weird answer, oh, you don't know. And you know what God's word says. Once again, that's foolish. So are we being foolish? So they are corrupt, because they're going to have other things. When you hear their information, where they got it from, their deeds are vile. So watch how they do things. Okay. Watch how they deal with things. There's a two-part study I'm working on, because when we did community, somebody asked me, and I get it. They said they're better with examples. And when we talked about community, the reason why I didn't give examples initially, because two people can do the same thing and one could be dead wrong and one could be right. But the actions will show based on purpose. I'm going to do that. But before I do that, the first part is going to show the foundations that we all are supposed to have in order to deal in the world. Okay. So, in a way, you'll watch somebody, and it doesn't matter what they do. You'll see the purpose. You'll see how they deal with it. You'll see the character of it. You'll see their gentleness, their patience. You'll see the fruit. You understand that, right? Or they'll just do it. They'll just do it. And I want credit for it and look at me. You'll know the difference, especially if you're watching by faith. And you'll see that that person's deeds are setting that person up. And there is no one who does good. So what is he saying in this last line? Because we read that in Romans 3. Without God, we're all fools. All of us. Because it took God to lean us towards him. Go back to what this is. This is no one seeks God. So God's mercy and his grace provided us to even seek him. But the people who choose not to, you're a fool, as what the Bible is saying. I got to keep saying this so you don't say, Pastor, ooh. And we must redirect them from their foolishness. That is our responsibility. And they're talking about Christians. When you talk about the world, we minister to the world because their unbelief is foolish. Does that make sense? Okay. There's no one in the world who is wise. They're all doomed for hell, right? Because he said, no one, like no one, does good. And that's where foolishness comes in. So our job is to minister to them. But once again, what we do that's foolish is we minister to them, even though the Bible says they can't get it, they can't discern this. We still do that. We'll tell a worldly couple, you're sinning. Their whole life is a sin. They don't know what that means. And you're too busy being church person and throwing stuff at them and being holier than thou instead of being the light that he tells us to be to lure them in. Okay? Makes godly sense when we get it. Other than that, we try to do what it's like sending a child out without giving them instruction, and he just makes up and does whatever he wants. And all you can say is he meant well. But in major cases, you can really destroy a person's life if you're not using wisdom and you keep going off of what seems wise, but is foolish. So we must redirect them from their foolishness. Proverbs 26, 4 through 5. Do not, now watch this, it sounds like it's speaking out of both sides of your mouth, answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Then it says, answer a fool as his folly deserves. This translation, New American Standard, is the best way of saying it, because most will say, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. Then it says, answer a fool according to his folly. Okay, some translations say it like that. People are like, wait a minute, you just told me not to. So this translation does a very good job on how it says, because they're all saying the same thing, in which it's saying, don't come down to his level. Right? That's where debates I had to get rid of. I'm not good. There was a time I thought I was better at them, but I'm not good at them. Because in a true debate, your goal is to make sure they know that you're right. It doesn't mean anything that you're right or not. Does that make sense? I just got to push my case so much across that you're like, I see where he's coming from. Is it right? I don't know. But man, he made it clear and he convinced me. Right? Salesmen do that. I'm going to now bring you to a level that you're just going to believe me. You don't think this is the greatest thing. And he says, don't do that. Don't come to their level to answer them. Now, we are to understand them in order to win them. But the Bible shows us don't answer them according to it, because now you're on their level and everything's going to be answered by their level and they'll win every time. However, he says, because you'll be like him, you will just now be a fool. He says, answer a fool as his folly deserves. I recognize he's a fool. How many of us would have a debate with a 2-year-old when they say, I don't want it? You know you have to have it. Let's sit down and go over this because food will do this. And their answer is just, I don't want it because they're a child and they don't know. And we do the same thing. I'm guilty of it, gotten better, but it's just one of those things of we allow ourselves to get in arguments about foolish things instead of realizing, right? We get hurt when somebody insults us. We get hurt when somebody, but knowing that there's something wrong with that person, right? There are majority of fights I've seen in my lifetime could have been avoided, but we puff up. What'd you say to me? What'd you say about my mom? What? Seriously, we get insulted by it. That's foolish. And now I'm going to give them what they're already giving me. They're doing a foolish thing, and I'm going to respond foolishly. Now we're both foolish. You understand this? And nobody won. He says, lest he be wise in his own eyes. The minute I come down to his level, he think he's equal and his debate's outstanding. And we are at fault because we participate. A lot of times when you ignore them and you kind of smile, and I'm not saying try to be passive aggressive where you just try to make them feel stupid. The position they're in is stupid. But I don't want to go to that level, right? I'm not going to that level. So understand that. So that's our way of redirecting them, is watching how we're doing it. We must stay wise. We have to first get wise, and that's a whole nother study, but we got to be in the wisdom phase, and you'll know when to say something and when not to say something. So here's how we have to know it. What defines a fool or foolishness? Okay, so we want to erase everything you thought you knew as a fool, and we're now going to go on God's word and let him answer what that is. So first of all, focusing on their perception and become angry when they do, when you do not. Okay, so you'll hear a fool with a mindset of, I figured it out. Okay, and I know we want to say, well, no, that person's discerning. The only time the figuring it out is wise is when you're figuring it out through God's Holy Spirit. Why does he say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding? That in itself, like I said, was just to my mind when I finally got it. All right. And you still hear people go, and then they give you this insight and it may even sound wise. But if I'm not in God's word, because I will go, wow, I never thought of that. Instead of going, well, you know, the Bible says it is written as Jesus did. Because remember, everything Satan did tried to come out as wise. And all he said was, it is written. That's our defense. It shows in Proverbs 12, 15 through 16, the way of a fool seems right to him. I mean, he's convinced. I mean, do you know how devastating that is, that you're going wrong, but you're convinced it's right? He says, but a wise man, watch this, listens to advice. So I'm bringing it to you because I want to hear what you have to say. Right? First time I know it's foolish is if I bring something up to them that they think is foolish and they make me feel stupid. But once again, if I react because they make me feel stupid, then I'm bound to their foolishness. But if I bring it to them, that's all I always tell people, there's no stupid questions. No, I'm not going to make you feel stupid because you had a question. That was brilliant that you even brought a question because you want to hear advice on it. Hey, I thought was this. What are your thoughts on that? That's wise when you hear that. When you hear somebody who just gives, no, the answer is this. What are you talking about? Don't you know what you're talking about? Man, they better be right on everything. And we know that's not the case. So guess what it makes them? Hopefully we're not guilty on that because we miss a lot of advice. There are things that we're doing that if we listen to advice, we'd be able to adjust our lives and our ministry. But we like to feel like, man, you got it all together. Man, everything's going right for you. You understand that? I struggle with that for the simple fact of I don't ever want to think that because I know it's not true. My flesh is going to get in the way all the time, right? But it is hard to hear advice, especially when it goes against what I think I am, what I feel, so on and so forth. But a wise man listens to advice. A fool seems, it's how I see it. It says in verse 16, a fool shows his annoyance at once. You ever see somebody gets irritated? What are you talking about? What? And they just want to cut you off and just, that's a fool, right? I'll usually kind of go, okay, thank you. Because I'm not going to go ahead with them. I'm like, why are you getting mad? How come you're getting upset? You just kind of, you understand that. I'm not saying you're not going to feel that. It's when a person allows that. A lot of these things you're going to hear, you're going to like, wow, I feel that. I didn't ask you how you felt. Our flesh is foolish, okay? It's when I engage it, and that's what you see, right? Do you get irritated real quick? Are you the one who labels what is stupid and what is not? Come on. And in every case, you show your annoyance. What do you want now, right? Now, what if God did? You're going to pray, what do you want now, right? And we don't even think that in our heads. We literally think, man, that person's stupid. God's like, seriously? So where's your measurement? That's what we want to know. So a fool shows his annoyance at once, but watch this. But a prudent man overlooks an insult. You can call me anything you want. It's like, I know I'm not that, right? I know I'm not. I remember growing up, and I used to hate that because you had two kids, young kids, and especially it was a majority of black kids. And when they would insult each other, one of the insults would be, you're so black. Right? And then they'd be like, oh, yes, we're black. You understand that? Right? And I remember when I learned and they would say something, I said, well, thank you. Amen. Proud of mine because God gave it to me. Thank you, God. but you're going to turn it into an insult. And we tend to do that with people. We take things and not realize. And if I know I'm not that, first I'll check and say, well, am I what he said I is? I am. But if I allow it to affect me, once again, that takes me back in foolish land. But a prudent man goes, okay, yeah, whatever. If you think I'm that, yeah, whatever. Right? You may feel bothered, but you will not be bothered. But that's going to be a sort of difference between a fool and a wise person. They follow self-wisdom. They're going to be ones that like to be in books and say, I read this from this person, and he did this, and he says that. You know what I mean? People don't realize back in the day, there was a book called Dianetics. People thought it was the most brilliant book in the world. People actually followed that book. He went on some talk show. His name was L. Ron Hubbard or something like that. And somebody said, you know, you can make a killing if you turn this into a religion. And that's where we get Scientology from. Just listening to the nonsense they say, do you understand that? Now, because I'm a Christian, I can call it nonsense because it's not based on God's word. But because it's a religion, they have faith in that religion. So you see what they're stuck in. It can sound foolish to them, but they're in that religion and they follow that religion. And it is just Dianetics with some stuff added to it. Okay? But we were told how brilliant it was and people went with it. Okay? And that guy just became a gazillionaire before he died. Now they think he's in space somewhere. But the problem with it is we watch these people who give their own answer. Hey, sis.
Hey. So what is Dianetics?
I didn't read it enough to understand it, but the whole concept was a you and what's inside of you, and you are brilliant in you, and that's why you can take no medicine, and everybody's brilliant in their cells, but you still got to listen to me, the head of it. You know what I mean? That's why people are kind of brain. It's a thing of intellect. I didn't go that deep into Scientology. I just understood it was something that really builds you up.
Oh, so Scientology is all about the inner man or something?
I don't know if you call it the inner man, but they call it the man. So what we have, and you can always do this stuff, and you can figure it out yourself, and it puts a lot of strength in you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but that's a little bit I know. Like I said, I could be somebody may even know deeper of it, but I didn't study it. And once again, these things I looked into just to understand what I was getting into. But be careful. Mm-hmm. I can't stress this.
I didn't know that was Scientologists dying next. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't know that story, and that's the way, you know, when I went into it, that's why I found out. I said, because there was the history of all these religions, and you get to see it. And when I saw the basics and how they're away from Christianity, I was done. What I didn't do is I'm not going to keep diving into it just to sound. That's where I'm going to get puffed up, because it can mess me up and I can mislead people. So mm-hmm. Be careful of that. But it is good to know, why was this one called a cult and this one is not? You know what I mean? And that's why it's so important. But yeah. So what I say, okay, lest you be like, oh, no, forward, no, it's once. Oh, self-wisdom. They follow self-wisdom. Proverbs 26:12 says, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than him. So it's even saying, what's worse than a fool? A person who's convinced that they are wise. A person who's convinced they are wise. And I've seen them. A lot of them will say things, and man, they'll just have proverbs, and they have all this stuff together, and seem like they're right. Dangerous, man. They are just wild, because they already think, well, why didn't you listen to me? See, I told you should listen to me. If you just done what I told you, you ever get those? And hopefully you're not that. That's a man wise in his own eyes, right? Even when I think I'm convinced I'm right, I still try to pull back, go, well, should try this. The only time I am convinced is when the word says it clearly. The word says this. Here it is. I never think I am, because I'm going to be wrong most of the time going after what I think. There are a lot of people who, even when they're right, they're wrong. But if I already feel that I'm so brilliant, I failed. Right? I'll look at everybody else like, oh, I wish they would all just listen to me. And remember what God said. He said, that's not the group I picked. Right? I picked the foolish ones of the world. Because why? They're 100% only going to look to God and do everything they can so you don't see them. I don't want you to see me and say, Pastor Keith has all the answers, because Pastor Keith doesn't. Keith has access to the answers as you do. I have a job to play as long as I trust in God. That's why he says there's more hope for a fool. And this is in a way, because there is no hope for a fool. When a person stays a fool, they're doomed for hell. So for him to say that, he's saying this is the deepest part of foolishness. Think about that. When you get with somebody that comes off brilliant but doesn't come off godly, you should be able to check everything they said in God's word, and not something that's so deep you're like, wow, you know what I mean? I can't believe it. And I'm just going to follow this person because he's so brilliant. Finally, fools live in fairy tales as if it's reality. Proverbs 14:8. The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways. Now think about this, but folly of the fools is deception. Like I said, we're in a realm today that if I want you to believe something, I'll just convince you and say, yep, that's brilliant, it's this way. I don't want you to believe something, I tell you it's a lie, it's wrong. Now what are you going to do? We pick one and we follow it. Christians, if we're truly following God through fear of God, a lot of these things aren't as fuzzy as we've made them. Unfortunately, you can't argue them, so it makes us not say anything. But if you watch people follow things and they mislead on things and they do things. I'm saying the foolish thing was, and I'm going to use the vaccine before we stop, for somebody to completely trust in vaccines, right? There was not only the Tuskegee thing when they were putting syphilis in men, you know what I mean, and the black men down there, and they think they were given the vaccines, and people don't even realize in California when they were injecting uranium in people. You get 10 people that come in, and one of them was going to get uranium, and everybody else got vaccines. And sometimes the vaccines itself are going to cause damage. Absolutely. So it's foolish for me to think they're going to be work, and I got to trust them. But it's also foolishness when you see that they do solve problems. If you're so convinced that all of them is wrong, you better not take any aspirin. Better not go to the doctor. You better not. Do you see what I'm saying? We become hypocrites. I'm going to talk about the vaccine. Hey, doctor, I'm hurting. Can you give me? Wait. What's the difference? All of it's man-made. But do you see how we can be foolish to prove a point in both cases? Christians understand. I'm going to balance it, right? This goes for supplements as well. You may get some good results from them. You may not, right? God talks about us going to doctors and things like that. But I'm throwing that out there because think about some of the things we do and what we got ourselves caught in. And we are definitely in a no better for you state of mind right now. Wisdom. Questions.
Yeah. I'm getting nervous now because I think I'm a fool.
I'll let you know. No, I'm saying we all are in a sense. That's what we're trying to learn and get out of. So I let's learn.
Too, because with the part about do you get annoyed with people? Because I was having a conversation with my neighbor, and she's one of the ones that done everything, know everything, highly educated. And she had talked to me about Christianity before. And so she was talking to me yesterday, and she was like, I studied the Quran and I know the Bible. And she said, the Quran and the Bible are no different. And I said, well, what do you mean? I said, it's okay to lie to people to get your way, and it's okay to kill people. Does the Bible say that? And she says, well, no, but there was a lot of killing in the Bible. I'm not going to debate that with you. And then as she was talking, which I don't understand what this is, she said that she considers herself a mystic Christian. And I said, what is a mystic Christian? And I tell you, I was so baffled. I don't even know what she said.
Gotcha. Yeah. The minute you heard that, the rest of it was over.
Right.
And you knew she wasn't a Christian. And then she tried to mix up Christianity to then have a discussion in that way. That then becomes foolish. That conversation in itself does become foolish, because that's why our ministry is so much different. It's going to be how you act around them, how you can present answers at the right time, but they can't understand the rest. And that's why they clump the Bible together. And that's why even Christians who are not living out of wisdom think there was an Old Testament God who was a wrathful God, and then there was a loving, graceful God. It's the same God. But you see, we say stuff when we try to use our own minds instead of trusting in God. So yeah, to limit that conversation, that would not have been a continual good conversation.
Well, I didn't say anything else. I let her just talk until I could figure out how to get off the phone.
Okay. There is wisdom with hanging up. No, not hanging up on them. But yeah, you want to be careful. I think, like I said, the majority of our ministry, and we've done that sermon, is going to be how you are around them. And then God takes it from there. That's why he says, I plant the seed, Apollos waters it, but God makes them grow. Too many times we keep trying to make them grow. Yeah. And we blow it because he was like, I didn't tell you to do that. You know, I mean, just do what I told you to do, and I'll take it from there. And that's not a time where we're not trusting in him. So it is it's important. So just even hearing it, and you notice stuff that was coming was foolish. You know, I'm a mystic Christian. You know what I mean? We had, like I said, we had somebody that came in, and they were weren't they a Muslim Christian, y'all? Those who remember, they were a Muslim Christian. And they wanted nothing. They want no parts of Jesus.
Muslim Christian.
Muslim. Thank you, Deacon. So, yeah. And they were convinced and they said they wanted nothing to do with Christ. Leave Christ out of it. And then they wanted me to officiate their marriage. And so I couldn't just go, what are you talking about? There's no such thing. I had to, you know, just be careful. I cannot do that. It's not in line with the word of God. I said, if you want to learn what that is, I'll be more than glad to show you what the word of God says. But he was convinced. And so I had to back off. So it's something that when we see it, we have to know when to back off, and we don't challenge them. And that's why I said I always have a problem with apologists, because apologists go out and they defend God to non-godly people. Nowhere in the Bible to tell us to do that.
Okay. I'm a fool because I was annoyed.
Well, no, did you act annoyed?
No.
Then you no, remember the feelings. It's a desire. Annoyance is a desire. Anger is a desire. If I act in it, now I sin. Right? Okay. You're going to feel irritated at someone. But if I continue to show love and gentleness, then I didn't sin. In fact, I beat my body. I took my thoughts captive. You understand? I can say, man, I'm feeling annoyed. And even if a person said, you know, at the moment, I don't want this to come out, I'm going to calm myself down. Now, all that's wisdom. That's good that you can accept that I was annoyed. But if the minute you start displaying it, or the reason how you talk to them, react to them, is based on your annoyance, then you fail.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
So for now, you're a little unfoolish. You're foolish meters.
Okay. I'll pass today.
Pass today, but we'll check you. Don't worry. Call me up if you want to know.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm here for you. So, but in all cases, you know, joking aside, it is something we do want to check, because we keep going with our emotions. And that's what 2 Timothy 3 is showing. We're very self-centered. So if you annoy me, you must be annoying, is what we feel. So that's why we kind of, and we react, and right? The feelings you're going to get in every way, anger, lust, all that's going to happen to you. You have no control on that part. That's the flesh. But if I give in to the flesh, I sin. Okay, that, please remember that, because so many people are beating themselves up for how they feel, and they don't realize it's not until the action that really shows what you really are. Other questions?
There now. Mm-hmm. I have a question.
Hey.
Hey.
How you doing, sis?
I'm doing all right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. In the Bible, when it says we are to love our enemies, mm-hmm. and then in Psalms 139, where it says, David or whoever's writing it, mm-hmm. says that I hate the enemies you hate. Mm-hmm. So how do you know the difference or the enemies that he hates and able for you to hate?
So my response to them, just like God says, not to love the world or anything in the world. Okay. But my reaction to you still has to be out of love in order to save you, but not to love you in a way as in you. Like right now, we have a lot of friends that are not Christians, correct? And in that, if I show a love because of you and who you are and keep you in that case, that's wrong. Get me? So far?
Yes.
Okay. But when I understand, do not love the world or anything in the world, we still minister to the world. We still minister to that to get them out of the world. So as what David is saying, because he may have a buddy that was totally demonic, but David loved him. Do you understand that? He's saying, mm-hmm. No. If you don't, I don't, but I'm going to show them love. See how that works?
You don't, I don't.
Okay.
Part of you.
So in other words, if there's somebody, because have you ever had a friend or somebody that had nothing to do with Christ, but you really like them?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you'll end up loving them based on who they are. And that means you'll friend them to hell, because you're not ministering to them, but to show love. Or if they say something to you, you take it personal, so on and so forth. So in me not liking them because of them, but loving them because of God, then all mine is going to get them to come to God, including my enemies. That's true love, because God is love. right? So he's making, so what David is saying, you're not going to see me celebrating, because you know we got some evil people out there, and you'll hear Christians that go, well, you know, they mean well. Well, you know, they try hard, but you hear, the minute you hear them go into that road, you're like, oh no, because you're now loving the world part of them. You're almost endorsing them and almost helping them to go to hell because you like them. Get that? Okay. And the more you understand that, the more your love will show to win them over. And you won't take anything they do personal in any case. Hopefully that made sense.
I'll think it over.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, something you have to let sink in, but it's not, yeah, it's not an easy thing, but
Okay. Thank you.
yep. Other questions? All right. Glory to God. Stay in your word. Question on everything. Anything you hear me say that's not that can't be sure supported, let me know. Make me find it. But it's something we always want to make sure the word is guiding us on this, because what Sister Marva asked is a very important question, because it seems like it's contradicting, but the Bible itself lets us know that it complements itself. So when you hear something that goes apart, they complement each other, and you have to use them in the way they see that the Bible shows us. So that's so important for us to know. So you're going to have a lot of those if you just read it by itself. Do you understand that? But it's precept upon precept, and it's important for us to do it that way. That's why Jesus was able to say, it is also written. Even though he said, you should do this or you should do this, he said, yeah, but it's also written, you should do this. They complement. I would do that if this didn't exist. And that's how we have to use God's word. There's a study I did before on how to navigate and do God's word. Once again, using God's word to do it. So pray. Hopefully, we can do that this year too. I'm trying to put together all that's being done this year. So we'll see how that goes. All right. If there's no other questions.
I have something real quick, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
driving, I'm trying to read this here. Hebrews 10:13. What
I
enemies
appreciate it.
is he talking about? I know we just talked about, with David.
Hebrews, which, what is it?
Hebrews 10:13, I believe.
Okay, Hebrews 10,
And
13.
since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Who are those enemies he's talking about?
Anyone
Because
that states, so of course he's, because remember, he came to destroy the devil and his and death, and then those who are his followers. Because even
I
if
can
you
hate them,
remember,
right?
well,
All
once
right,
again,
so
you
the
don't hate
devil.
them to hate them. Like if I just said, I hate you, I despise you, I hope you go to hell, we already blew it.
Okay.
But
I'm thinking more of the devil, and I'm thinking more of the devil and demons. Okay, I got it.
exactly, yep.
Okay.
I
That's
just
where to
wanted to
clear
clear
that
that up.
up.
Once again, good question in that, because are we to love the devil? Well, we know the devil was not going to go to heaven, so I'm not going to embrace or befriend the devil. But I also know what he says, be conscious of who he is. The Lord rebuke you. I just don't go, devil, get out of my way. I'm going to do no, you know, still have that respect through God. So in that same love, I'm not showing love for the devil. All right. But the people down here have a chance, other than the ones who have the unpardonable sin. But once again, we don't even know who those are sometimes, because we still are confused on that, even though we have the answer for that. So yeah, but no, it's a great question on there, because know how to maneuver through an enemy, because a lot of us have friends that we grew up with, and it can even be family members that, man, they mean the world to us, but they're so far away from God, and if I give them the wrong love, then I'm loving the world. Do you understand that? But if I go and show them God's love, my whole goal is to get them to God. Despite what they do to me, how I feel about it, and I'm very careful on doing that. So, but great question on that, because we have to be careful how that love looks.
Change it.
All right. Anybody else before we pray out?
That was Hebrews, you said 10:13. So you said enemies or demons?
For Satan, because remember, death was his enemy. Satan was then, because remember, the world was under, he's the evil one that the world is under. So what Jesus did was took us away from the sting of sin. That's why we don't have fear in love, because we have that from Christ. So he's able to rule over that and give us access so that it doesn't have that effect on us. I may have to go deeper into that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. But Satan, definitely Satan and his demons play a big part. And then you're going to have people that are participating with him. So in the end, when he says make them their footstool, in other words, they're not going to have the strength that they have. But I know thine enemy. I don't know if y'all remember, we did that years ago. We'll do that soon as God allows as well. So we'll talk about Satan more in the future.
Is that know thy enemy? Was that Order My Steps or a Bible study?
That was a sermon.
Are you able to pull it back up?
No, we're going to do it again. The last time, what happens, everybody understand, I'll do it every 2 years. So only 2 years are always up there. And then I recycle if I need to do it again. So in the third year of that, then I pull it back down off the website because I may do that one again.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
Yep. No problem. All right, family, we're going to pray. Let's pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, once again, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your wisdom. Help us to continue to use the wisdom you provide us, not to get lost by our own human wisdom and this worldly, messed up, corrupt wisdom, but to stay leaning upon yours. It's very easy for us to be distracted, for us to take fleshly sides when you have spiritually given us what we need in order to deal with things, so we can discern when it's wise to make whatever decisions. As we go through this, let us really get an understanding of what being a fool is, so that we can minister and not be one and not act upon it in our lives. Help us to continue to ask the questions in you, looking for your it is written word and not what we think. We thank you so much for providing the patience, the mercy you have given us, and for the grace you continue to provide us. We give you the love, the glory, and the power, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We say amen.
Amen.
Good night. Love you, family. Have a good night.
Love you too.
Bye.